Okay, we're on page 920. We're at the paragraph Pasuk Mem. Okay, last week we were learning the various journeys of the Jews. We learned about Aaron's passing on the first day of Chodesh Av in the 40th year. And therefore, like we know, that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Miriam was 5 years older than Aaron. Well, Miriam was 5 years old when Aaron was born, and Aaron was 3 when Moshe was born. So Miriam was 5 years older than Moshe, Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe, right? That's what...
what page did that
get?
920.
Okay, now that Aaron passed away, okay, so it says... Oh, last time we also explained, what does it mean that Aaron died with the Hashem kissed him? What does it mean that Hashem kissed him? Hashem didn't kiss him, whatever it means. Okay, Vayishma Knani Melech Arod, the king of Canaan, who was the Knani, the king of Arod, heard that Aaron passed away. Vayishev Banegev Beretz Canaan, he was sitting in the south in the land of Canaan. Vavei Bnei Yisrael, when the Jews came. What happened over here is like this. The Grashi says that when Aaron passed away, the clouds left. Right, the mom was in the Zchus of Moshe, the well was in the Zchus of Miriam. That's why when Miriam died, the well, there was no water. So it came back in the Zchus of Moshe. When Aaron died, the clouds stopped. And because of that, the people thought, okay, now we can come start up with the Jews. And that's what this, earlier in Chumash it says, that the Canaani came and they captured one Jew, and Hashem's, the Jews made a shvua. But that war came about because Aaron passed away. And the clouds were no more existing. So... What?
Because they saw the Jews.
They saw, Rashi says, that now that the clouds left, they thought Jews. God's not protecting them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So when the clouds were there, they couldn't see the Jews, right?
Right. Okay. Vayisum heard, they came to Talmena, they came from Talmena, they traveled in Pune, Vayisum in Pune, Yakna Ba'avis, they came from left to Ma'avis, they came to Iyavar, Mikvul Mayav. But a lot of these, by the way, were because Sichon and Eg didn't, Edim didn't let him go through, they had to go around. You know, a lot of things happened because after Aaron died, they went backwards. I mean, there was a lot of moving back and forth. They traveled from Iyam, they came to Divan God, they came to Almond of Lissam, they left from Almond of Lissam, they came to Hari or Avardim Lifnei Nevei, which was where Moshe Rabbeinu passed away in Har Nevei. By Yisumei Ori Avodim, they camped in Arvis Meyav al Yarden Yerechi. They camped next to the Yarden. This is where they were now. By Yachnu al Yarden Mibesa Yeshimis Adovel Ashitim. They camped from Abesa Yeshimis until Ovel Ashitim. Okay? It was the plain of Shitim that was called Elvel. That was the name of it. By Arvis Meyav and the plains of Meyav. From here, Rashi learns, or Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Gemara learns, because Rabbi Barbachana said, the Pasuk says the Jews camped from Beis HaYeshimes until Avel HaShitim. So from there, the Gemara says, Rabbi Barbachana said, I saw that area and it's 12 mil. So the Gemara learns out from here that the Jewish camp in the desert was 12 mil by 12 mil. Because they basically were a square. They had the 12 tribes, right? Four on each side. I mean, three on each side. So the Jewish camp was 12 mil by 12 mil. A mil is 2,000 amas, so let's make the math easier, 3,000 amas approximately per mil. 3,000 amas per mil. So this is 12 mil. So it's 36,000. Mill by 36,000 feet by 36,000 feet. So that's approximately. What?
I told you each amma is about a foot and a half.
No, that's what I'm saying. Feet. So a mill is 3,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a mill is 3,000.
Because it's 2,000 ammas. So a mill is 3,000 feet. So they had 12 mill.
12 times
3. So 36,000 feet square. Mm-hmm. That's approximately 6 miles. The Jewish camp took up 6 miles by 6 miles.
Does that make sense?
Why?
That's a lot.
That 2 million people.
6 miles.
Mm-hmm. Make a chesed from here 6 miles.
Moving the entire.
But that's what the Gemara says. It's 12 mil by 12 mil.
Okay.
And the mil, that's it.
Rabbi, what? The animals were not in the cloud?
It's questionable.
Because they had a lot of animals too?
They had a lot of animals. They're in the clouds, out of the clouds. It's not clear.
So it could be even bigger than that.
Yeah, but the camp itself of the people was 12 mil by 12 mil.
The cloud is a guideline for Israel?
The guidelines? No, the cloud was the protected them when they traveled.
They showed the direction also?
The direction, and then there were clouds over them, under them, and the side of them.
In the box.
In a box.
And in front and behind.
In fact, it's interesting. It says, the Mefarshim say, how did they do Kiddush Levana? Wrote down in Sfarim. How did they do Kiddush Levana in the desert? Because they were covered by the clouds. So it said, Moshe Rabbeinu did a handkerchief thing like this, and the clouds parted. They did Kiddush Levana, and then the clouds came back. What?
Inside the cloud, people could see each other. They were literally inside
the No, the clouds were outside of them.
Right, but inside was...
How are they going to fight if they can't see each other? Yeah, what do you think they did for 40 years? Whatever, okay,
it
worked.
They'll find a way, Rabbi.
They'll find a way anyway. Okay. So this is the end of the travels. Okay. 9:20, 3 lines in the end of the page. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe ba'avis meyav al yadin yerecha lemer. So Hashem now spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at the plains of Meyav next to the Yarden Yerecha. Okay? Daber al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jews. V'amarta aleihem, and say to them like this. Ki atem evrim es a yarden. When you're going to go through the Yarden, El Ed is Canaan, to the land of Canaan. And Rashi, before you even go further, Rashi asks an interesting question. Rashi says, they were told this. But here Hashem told them, when it says, Ovidim es a yardin, it's going to be by Abosha. When you go through, here Hashem's telling the Jews that when you go across the yardin, it's going to split, like Kriyas Yamsev is going to split. But on the condition, why are you going to go through the yardin on dry land? That you should conquer the land and divide the land and all that. In other words, the condition Hashem says to them why the Jews are going to be going over dry land was because they have to conquer the land and get rid of all the goyim there. So it was like a condition that Hashem said to them.
They opened the Yarden also, like Yamsu?
Yeah. They have to do it. The Rashi says they have to do it on the condition that they're going to conquer the land and get rid of all the goyim there. And otherwise, the river is going to come back and drown them. That's what Rashi says.
They crossed the Yarden, there were 12 paths for the 12 Shvat team, or?
It's again, the same question what happened by Yamsuf is also a question what happened. Whichever way it was. What?
Yarden isn't as big, though.
Yarden is not as big, but it's still split in a way that they can walk through. Okay. V'heirashtem. And you have to drive out. As called Yeshri Hardis Mipnechem, all the inhabitants, all the nations of Canaan before you. Vibaditam, and you have to destroy Esko Maskiyesam, all their Maskiyesam is actually stones that they used to bow on. The Esko Tzami Mesachesam Ta'abedu, you have to get rid of all their images. The Esko Bamesam Tashmidu, all their high places that they would bring as sacrifices and worshipping for idols, then you have to destroy. In other words, the mitzvah is to destroy everything in Eretz Yisrael. The people they have to kill, and they have to destroy all the idols and all the idol worshipping places and all their stones. Anything that had anything to do with Avodah Zarah, they needed to get rid of. Just doing one more puzzle, we'll discuss this a little bit. Ve'hirashtem es ha'aretz. Okay? You should possess the land. Well, here it says they possess the land, but here you shaft and bow, and you will live in it. Because I'm giving you the land, Hashem says, for this I have given you the land to possess it. Okay? Now, Rashi learns over here, what does it mean? That if you conquer the land, then you're going to be able to dwell in it. Because otherwise, you then you're going to promise in the goyim. But the Ramban learns out over here a very interesting mitzvah. The Ramban learns that when it says, V'yeshavtem bo, this is the mitzvah of yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of living in the land of Eretz Yisrael. One of the Tayag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs is, you cold?
No.
Okay, you can close the air now.
Thank you.
Jews are supposed to be warm. When you learn Torah, you're supposed to be hot.
Right.
I said I'm not cold. No.
Oh, okay. There's a very famous argument in the Rishonim and Achreinim. One of the Tayag mitzvahs is mitzvahs yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban over here in this pasuk learns that because it says v'yedeshavtem bo, it's a mitzvah. Rashi learns over here, it's not a mitzvah. If you conquer the land, then you'll be able to live there. Otherwise, you'll always have problems. But the Ramban learns, Yishavtem bo is a mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. But there's a very famous machlekes in the poskim, even today, if today applies the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael or not. Some poskim hold that the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, is only when all the Yidden live there. Like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, that's when there is a mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. Other poskim say, no, the mitzvah applies today too. But a lot of poskim hold that the mitzvah doesn't apply today because all the Jews are not living in Eretz Yisrael, so the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply. Remember one time when Rabbi Gorin was still the Rav Rosh in Israel, he came to the Rebbe and he said, asked the Rebbe if he holds a Aliyah. So the Rebbe said, I hold the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. He says, but what's with Aliyah? So the Rebbe said, I hold the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. This went on for a few times. No, but there's a famous Minchas Elozer from the Munkacher that holds it. It doesn't apply today. There's a lot of poskim that hold the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply today because it only applies when Kol Yishvei Olel, like Yevil and all those other mitzvahs. That's when the mitzvah is to Yishav Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara at the end of Ksubis has a lot of very sharp Gemaras about not living in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, the Me'iri at the end of Ksubis, right, when the Gemara at the end of Ksubis speaks about all the, whoever doesn't live in, again, the Paschim rite doesn't apply today, but the Gemara says whoever doesn't live in Israel has no God. I mean, very, I don't want to talk influence anybody to move out of here. But
No,
okay. But the Me'iri, it's interesting, at the end of Ksubis, the Me'iri was a Rishon, right, that this all, everything the Gemara says about Eretz Yisrael, about not moving out, applies in those days to Bavel also. Because Bavel became the center of Torah in the time of the Gemara. So the Me'iri writes, all those things that the Gemara says about moving out of Eretz Yisrael applied to Bavel too.
But Gemara talks about because of Torah,
no, that's what the Me'iri learned. The Me'iri learns that the whole inyan of what the Gemara says about the Eretz Yisrael, because that was a Mekayim Torah. Kimitzi and Teitz Seder.
Should
there
be any church or mosque in Israel?
No, that's what he says. The
future, if
halachically, if a Jew has the ability, you have to destroy all idol things in Eretz Yisrael.
Mosque,
according to the Rambam, is not Aveda Zora, because Muslims are not Aveda Zora, according to all opinions.
Church
also? No, we said already in the past, whether Christianity is Aveda Zora or not, there's a machlekes between Taisus and the Rambam. The Rambam holds Christianity is Aveda Zora. Taisus holds it's not. For a goy, for a Jew, for sure it's Aveda Zora. For a Jew to be a Christian is Aveda Zora. The question is, what are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Is a Jew, a goy can't worship idols, right? So the question is Christianity for a goy Aveda Zora or not? So the Rambam holds it is, Taisus says it's not. Shulchan Aruch Paz, the Rambam says it's not.
And we say there's three main religions. It's the
four.
Chabad. What else? Ashkenazic and Sephardic.
So no, not Muslim and not Christian.
Well, the most are the Buddhas.
Buddhas is the
China and the kidding Hindus.
The this is the Makoda Ramban learns that the mitzvot only apply in Eretz Israel because of this issue and not outside.
Which mitzvot?
Just general mitzvot. I thought Ramban.
No, Ramban doesn't hold mitzvot only apply.
No.
Here, Aldaiti, look what Draman says. Aldaiti, according to my opinion, Zu mitzvah sasei, which is Yitzava esim sheyoshu ba'oriz v'yoshu yisa. Okay?
No.
Yeah. So according to Ramban,
he also says that this putting tefillin doesn't apply chuslara. It's really the mitzvah is in Eretz Yisrael.
Can't be. It's not such a Ramban. Doesn't make sense. Because it says the Dere Seichem.
Connected to the land of Eretz Israel.
I don't know. I never saw such a Ramban. Okay.
So this is the reason that if the Israel wants to come here, it come for teaching Torah?
According to Halacha, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Israel only to get married or to learn Torah. Yeah. Huh? Parnassah, if it's temporary. Okay. So the Rambam says over here, "Vishavtim bo, it's mamash mitzvah." Kilachem nasati yisarda says aisa rasha aisa. So what the Torah says, you need to destroy all their idols and all their things. Okay, then he says like this: "Vesnachaltem esaodis begoydol." You should give the land as an inheritance. Begoydol with lottery, l'mishpachaseichem to the families. And then the Torah says like this, L'rav tarbus nachlosi, a bigger tribe has a bigger inheritance. L'ma tamit as nachlosi, a less person gets less. El ashayeti le'shama gerdol, where the way the tribe, the gerdol will come. L'yia, that will be his area. L'matis avisechem tesnacholu, based on the, according to the Yaitzi Mitzrayim. Okay? You know, according to Rashi, the Pasuk is saying, Eretz Yisrael was divided by how many people left Egypt. Not by how many families went into Eretz Yisrael. By how many people, how many families left Egypt, based on that. So if let's say, there was one father that had four sons, another father had one son when they left Egypt. So, if the parents left Egypt, so that family would, they would both get one. But if the father died and four children left Egypt, they would get four times the amount that one son got. Because it was divided up based on that. But over here, this is something that we learned already a while ago in Pinchas. Seemingly, the Pasuk contradicts itself. Because here the Pasuk starts saying like this, you should give it as an inheritance, begoidel, with lottery.
That's...
Lottery is min hashamayim. Right? What did they do? They divided up Eretz Yisrael into 12 parts. And then they had the 12 Shvatim. Because Levi didn't get, right? And in fact, over here in Lapel, it was 9.5 tribes, we'll soon see. Because 2.5 took on this side of the Yarden, right? But Lapel, they divided up Eretz Yisrael into 12 parts. They had 12 Shvatim. And then there was a girdle, who gets what part? Okay? So some of us should learn, the girdle was which shave it gets which part of Eretz Yisrael. How to divide the land per tribe, that was, like the Torah says, more, get more, less, get less. In other words, some of us should learn, there are 12 tribes, 12 chalakim in Eretz Yisrael. The girdle said, who gets what chalik? So Reuven is going to get this, Shimon is going to get this, Yehuda is going to get this. How Yehuda divides up that part is based on the size of the families. You get a bigger family, get a bigger people. Okay. But in a deeper sense, some of us should learn that the girdle always came out exactly if you had more, then the girdle gave you a bigger piece of land. Okay? In a deeper sense, this is two ways of a Jew conquering the land of Canaan. Canaan represents the seven bad nations, which represent the seven bad midas that a Jew possesses in the Yetzer Hara, in the Nefesh HaBamis. In Avedas Hashem, there's two ways of serving God. It's called Geirol and Seichel. In serving Hashem, how do you conquer the land? Divide the land. We're talking about the personal Eretz Yisrael, the Nefesh HaBamis, the land, the seven nations of Canaan, the evil nations that you got to get rid of. So the Torah says there's two ways of serving Hashem. One is lottery. Lottery represents above seichel. It doesn't make sense. That's what a girdle is, not seichel. There's no seichel in a lottery. And then the Torah says it's also logic. Which basically, if you want to be technical, that's the two levels of Nasiv and Ishma. Nasiv is no seichel. I'm not even listening to what you have to say. I'm going to do it. Like we learned a while ago, there's what's called in the Hasidic language, there's bitul laharotzin, and there's bitul lebal harotzin. Bitul laharotzin means you have a will. You want to tell me something. You want me to do something. You tell me what you want, and I have a choice to say yes or no. Right? Even if I say yes, that doesn't mean I'm completely bottle and subservient to you. You told me what you want. He said, okay, can you do me a favor? Go here. So, okay, I'll go here. Then there's a bit of what's called lebal haratzen. You're so bottled to the owner of the world, meaning Hashem, that it doesn't matter what he says.
You do it.
Will you do something for me? Yes, you don't even have to hear what it is. Now, in Secha, that doesn't make sense. Normally, a person says, let me hear what you want, and I'll... Can you do me a favor? What's the normal response? Let me hear what the favor is and I'll answer you. You do me a favor, I'll say yeah, then you tell me jump off a cliff. I mean, you know, well, that's not something that's reasonable. Gadol represents a level of serving Hashem not according to Seichel. L'mayla min HaSeichel. It's called Kabbalah's Oil. Huh? Kabbalah's oil means doing it just because Hashem said so. Then you have the way of Seichel. You have to serve Hashem Nishma. You have to understand it. You have to learn it. You have to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it. That's the way a Jew has to serve Hashem. Another explanation of Girdle, by the way, it says that refers to even the essence of the Neshama, the Girdle, which is completely above, no connection to Seichel whatsoever. Mm-hmm. When you have a lottery, yeah, the Powerball. Yeah, some yokel somewhere won $590 million.
Magic.
One guy. Or whoever it is. They didn't come out yet, though.
No.
No,
Florida.
Yeah, in Florida.
How about me?
How much?
How about?
$590
million. You want to go buy? You can buy a lot of pizza with that.
You got 100 million.
Anyway.
The winner.
Okay, whatever. It doesn't, whatever. Lottery, right, the lottery has no connection to Seichel whatsoever. There's no Seichel why this person wins or this person didn't win. It's just, you pick the number, and that's what you win. So again, in Avedas Hashem, that refers to serving Hashem in a level which is completely higher than Seichel. No Seichel at all. And that's what it says. When you're coming, v'snachaltem es ha'aretz, you want to inherit the land, you want to have a nachla in the Yetzirah, in the seven nations of Canaan, it has to be begirdol l'mishpechei seichem, and also l'rav tarbu nachlosiv l'matam des nachlosi, and the one that gets the man, the girdol, that should be the matis of seichem des nachol. That's what they inherit from the parents. Okay?
This is the reason for discrimination or any... Hard feeling?
Was there any hard feelings?
Because you get better part, you get upset, or that's the reason that the girl...
Because it was girdle, they tried to do it. In fact, later on, the Pasuk is going to say the 12 Nasiim that divided the land for the Jews. So over there, each Nasi tried to do the best what he can for his tribe. But Hashem divided the land, since certain people had... Whatever, that's the way Hashem wanted it to be. It was begirdled. There was no way.
It's the best way to do it.
That was their part of the world that Eretz Yisrael that they had to deal with. The only city that belonged nowhere was Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Irsha Chubra lo Yachtav. Yerushalayim was not divided l'shvatim. Yerushalayim was in the chelik of Binyamin, but it didn't belong to Binyamin. And that belonged to all 12 tribes. But that was the only city that wasn't divided amongst the Shvatim. Every other city was divided.
But it belonged to Binyamin?
Huh? Geographically, it was in Binyamin's part. But it didn't belong to Binyamin. It belonged, the Pasuk said, Ir Shechub El Yachtov. Wasn't divided to Shvatim. That's why the Gemara says, Egla Rufa can never be to Yerushalayim because it wasn't divided. The Torah says, you measure to the closest city that Hashem gave you as inheritance. So because Yerushalayim wasn't divided, so there's no such thing as measuring to Yerushalayim for Egla Rufa. You know, if you find a dead body out to the city. Yeah. But that was the uniqueness of Yerushalayim. That was it. Nothing else. But now the Torah says another interesting thing. And now the Torah is warning the Jews, so to speak, if you do not drive them out, anyone that's going to be left, will be pins in your eyes, and thorns on your sides, they're going to harass you, on the land that you dwell. So seemingly here the Torah is telling the Jews, I'm warning you for your own good, you better kill all the goyim, because if not, you leave over a few, they're going to be, they make problems. Yeah? That's what it says here. It's very practical, like we know, because the Jews didn't kill out all the nations, they had a lot of tzaddis, it's brought down. The Mefarshim bring down, that because the Jews, Taka, didn't drive out all the people.
How Hashem create these people that he wants to kill them?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh?
How Hashem do that like this thing?
How did you do such a thing?
He created. His name is created. How come kill them?
Why did Hashem say to kill them out?
Yeah.
It's cruel.
Okay. Yeah, it's cruel. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't let the Jews do what they needed to do. By the way, there's another machlekes in the Rishonim, by the way. There's a famous machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban also in Hilchos Melachim. The Rambam writes that even by Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, they offered peace. The Rambam is the only one that says it. All the other Rishonim argue, and the other Rishonim out in Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing as offering peace. Because by the other Melchemes, the Torah says later that you should offer them peace, and if they want to be peace, they want to become, then you let them live. So the Rambam learns that was even by the seven nations of Canaan. The Ramban and most other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and they say, no, that was not by Muhammad conquering Eretz Yisrael, there was Leisachaya Kol Neshama, was a mitzvah, even if they, the Rambam learns Leisachaya Kol Neshama, if they didn't agree to become peaceful with, you know, to become Yish Avodim, then you kill them. But the Ramban and others hold that under any circumstance you cannot let them live. In fact, he brings down over here, only in the perspective of God's wisdom can this passage be understood. No human ruler has right to decree that an entire population be exterminated or exiled. But Hashem revealed that the Canaanite presence was incompatible with both land holiness and Israel's mission on earth. What happened with Amalek? Also the mitzvah to destroy them. Because these nations, in a spiritual sense, represent the complete level of evil. And evil has to be destroyed. Evil has to be destroyed. But what's interesting over here, in the spiritual sense, the Pasuk says a very interesting thing. Somebody, when it comes to the personal driving out of the Goyishkeit, some people think, you know what, I'll destroy 90% of my Goyishkeit. Let me live a little bit. I'll destroy all of it, my Yetzer Hara, a little bit left. The Torah says anything you're going to be leaving is going to be pins in your eyes and thorns on your side. Huh?
It's growing.
What does it mean, thorns in the eyes?
They're going to be in your way. They're going to hurt you. Yeah, they're going to damage you.
Such an expression, what Torah means by
it? That's what the Torah means. They're going to be problems for you. Rashi says, you say they're going to be pins that blind your eyes, and they're going to make things thorns all over you, and they're going to torture you. Contact lens. No, but this is a very interesting thing. The Torah is teaching us a lesson over here. If you leave, you see it's also in the physical, in the medical world. God forbid somebody has cancer. Yeah. Yeah. You have to destroy it. You can leave over a tiny cell, and they can't, you can think, I got 99.999% of it, one tiny cell, because it's already. You don't get rid of it, it comes back with a vengeance. It comes back worse than before. The Torah says, when it talks about destroying evil, the Torah says, you have to destroy it 100%. If somebody has a bad midah, bad character trait, and you're working on it to destroy it, the Torah says you got to destroy it completely. Because if you leave it over a little bit, it's going to come back to haunt you, it's going to come back to make your life miserable.
Something we can return it to good.
Not the land of Canaan. No. The seven bad midas need to be destroyed.
Complete.
Machshava Dibirim, only a tzaddik has the ability to transform the ra into teiv. Like the Gemara says, that you kill the Yetzirah and then it becomes v'chol levavcha b'shnei Yetzirecha. Not only do you get rid of the Yetzirah, but you transform the Yetzirah to love v'chol levav b'shnei Yetzirecha. Two bases. But that is really the aved of the tzaddik, not the aved of a regular Jew. A while ago, when we were learning about the Meraglim, we discussed the difference why Yeshua sent spies to Yerichai, and they were very successful. Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies to Yisrael, and they weren't successful. So remember, then we were learning that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Hashem says to me, Shlach lecha anashim, ledaitecha. You want? He said, Ani eina mitzava yischa. I'm not commanding you. This Hashem says, the first Rashi in Parsha Shlach, yeah? Rashi says in the Gemara and Seita, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to send?
Send.
I am not telling you to send. Yeah? So the basic question over here is, Moshe Rabbeinu was a holy man. Hashem says no. Why is he saying yes? Hashem says, I am not commanding you to send. You want to send?
Send.
Think, God says no, and I say no. You want to do it? Do it. Yeah? So we would do it. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, I say no, you want to do it, do it. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu sending spies? Why is he doing it if Hashem said no? So there's a whole explanation of this. When Yeshua, in the Haftar of Shlach, in the book of the beginning of Yeshua, there's a story that Yeshua sent the spies to Yerichai, and they were successful, and they came back. It's Yeshua and Kalev, it's Kalev and somebody else. Sent two spies. And they came back and they're very successful. So the explanation why the spies to Eretz Yisrael were told no. And not only that, the spies that went to Yerichai conquered Yerichai. They conquered. They were very, very successful. So explanation like this. Yerichai, without elaborating on it now, Yerichai is from the word Reach, which is connected to garments. It says in the Zohar, Mirecha de Levushaychu, from the smell of your garments. The eunuch in the Zohar, there was this kid in the Zohar, he went over to some tzaddikim and said, from the smell of your clothing, I can tell you didn't read the Shema yet. Mirecha de Levushaychu, Chazin ed Lekarisa Tzashma. I see that you didn't read the Shema. Okay? Anyway, so it says in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it says that Yericha is Reach. That refers to thought, speech, and action. Canaan refers to the seven Midas Rois of the Nefesh HaBamis. Not every Jew has the ability to transform the Nefesh HaBamis into Nefesh HaLakis, into Godly soul. That you have to be born with, as Barasa Tzaddikim, you have to be born with the ability to be a Tzaddik to do that. Nevertheless, it says, a person should try to do it. And if you try hard enough, Hashem will give you the neshama of a real tzaddik into you, and you'll be able to accomplish. So it says like this, not every Jew could become a tzaddik. But why does the Gemara say, Mashbi Nasi Tihi Tzaddik? You should try to be a tzaddik, but at least don't be a Rasha, be a Beinoni. So it says like this, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't command you, because if I command you, that means you could do it. Not every Jew could do it. So Hashem says, Ani Einu Mitzav, I can't command you to do something you can't do. But Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, but it's good to try. It's good to try. So Hashem said to him, L'daitcha, you want? It's okay to send. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood, Hashem says, I can't command any mitzvah isacha. I can't command you because Hashem will not command a Jew something he can't do. Like we said many times, Hashem doesn't do that. So Hashem says, I cannot command you to send a miragrim because it's impossible for every Jew to do it. But if you like, you want to try, it's a very good idea. So therefore, but Yericha, which refers to Machshava Dibur HaMaisa, that every Jew can control. Every Jew can control the thought, speech, and action. But to conquer the Ava of the Yetzer Hara, the year of the, that we can't do. So Hashem doesn't command. But it says over here, when you conquer Eretz Yisrael, you can't leave over any drop of evil, because once you leave over a drop of evil, it comes back. And then it says, the pasuk says, V'hoy, and then it will be, Kasher dimisi, lasi islohem, what I meant to do to them, Hashem says, I should do to you. In other words, Hashem said, I was going to destroy the nations. I'm going to destroy you if you leave them there. Because that shows that you're not interesting in serving Hashem. You don't care if evil exists. If the seven nations of Canaan exist, you're fine with it. So this parsha, this paragraph that we just learned, Hashem is telling the Yidden, when you come to conquer the land of Canaan, you have to inherit it, you have to destroy all the evil that we have in us, in a personal level, and don't leave over any evil. You leave over any evil, it's going to come back. And it's going to be big problems.
Did Hashem destroy Moab before that?
No, Hashem said, I'll touch us, Moab. Hashem didn't destroy Moab because Rus has to come from Moab. The Pasuk says, I'll touch us, Moab. Hashem said, don't stand up with Moab.
Wasn't in this seventh group?
Midian. No. No.
What was the seventh
group? Nani, Chita, Moab, Pizze, Vuse, Gigoshi. You saying that? Right?
Yeah.
Knani, Echiti, Ameri, Vaprize, Vuzvi, Gigoshi.
Yes.
Gigoshi ran away by themselves. So therefore they only conquered six. Because they left by themselves. They ran away. But these refer to the seven Midas Rois. The three nations, Kaini, Knezi, and Kadmeini, that the Torah says, when Mashiach comes, I'm going to broaden your boundaries, you're going to have Kaini, Knezi, and Kadmeini, that refers to the three intellectual levels of evil. Chochmah, Bina, and Das of evil. So the seven nations of Canaan correspond with the seven Midas. That was destroyed when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. And the intellect of evil, that will happen only when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, that's when he's going to destroy that. Okay.
What's the resemblance that right now there is in Eretz Yisrael? Did you go to the three?
Now we don't have that.
No, it was not destroyed, so it's there. Do we see?
No, but that's the nations. Simply, Keni, Knez, and Kadmeini were outside the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
So, why not Kadmeini if they're going to be destroyed?
No, when Mashiach comes, Hashem says we're going to extend the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, then if they are going to be.
Kiyach Hashem is Gvulcha, the Pasuk says. Then he's going to give Keni, Knez, and Kadmeini.
Oh, they're going to be within the Gvul then.
Then that's going to be the, yeah. When Mashiach comes, biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are going to expand. More than it was.
What's so great about expanding?
standing.
Okay, there's two issues. Now we're going to stop. Meaning we're going to just talk about it orally, because next week we'll learn it inside about the Torah. We're now going to see the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, what the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are. Just to put it into modern day perspective, so to speak, with the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. There is biblical Eretz Yisrael that the Torah describes the boundaries. In fact, in the Chumash here, in the stone Chumash, you see the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The Mediterranean, the Yam is on the west, and then you have the dotted lines or the not dotted lines. There's two opinions that they bring down what the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are. Then you have, I'm talking about in modern day stuff, you have land that belongs to Israel that's not biblical Eretz Yisrael. The land today that belongs to Israel, which is not biblical Eretz Yisrael, that the Jews also are not allowed to give back if it's dangerous to give it back. In other words, like this. The Pasuk says in Eretz Yisrael, but not only that, Sinai, when the Jews had Sinai, they captured Sinai Desert, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's not in the Gevulos of Eretz Yisrael. But, halachically, the Jews are not allowed to give it back.
According to
the
laws of Torah?
According to the laws of Torah, they're not allowed to give it back. There's two issues. It says, what's the Pasuk? You're not allowed to give leisachanim, okay? It's forbidden for a Jew to give back biblical Eretz Yisrael to a guy, even if they don't need it. Okay? In Parshas Veschanan, the Torah says, at the end of Veschanan, here, on page 976, yeah? Okay, when Hashem was being a Perek Zayin, yeah? On page 976, yeah? Mm-hmm. You're going to destroy the nations of Chiti, Gigoshi, Ameri, Kinani, Bizi, Chuvi, Ukeshi, Begoyim. Hashem is going to give you in the hand, you have to destroy them. Okay, then it says, Leisich Islam Bris, you know, to make a covenant with them. Leisichonim. Okay? What does it mean? You should not show them favor. Rashi brings down two interpretations. You're not allowed to tell them, oh, look how beautiful this guy is. And then Rashi says, Dover Achid, this is from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Leisiten Lahem Chaniya Ba'aretz. It's forbidden for a Jew to allow a guy to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, biblical Eretz Yisrael, like it's brought down, does not belong to any Jew. It belongs to Am Yisrael. And nobody has a right to give back land that belongs to Am Yisrael. A prime minister today is not the boss of Klal Yisrael. Okay, it belongs to the Jew. So nobody is allowed to give back land that's biblically part of Eretz Yisrael. Regardless whether you need it, you don't need it, it's waste, well, it doesn't matter. Land which is biblical Eretz Yisrael is forbidden to give back land to a goy. Then there's another issue. Land that doesn't belong halachically to the Jew. But if by giving it back you're making a danger to the Jews, then it's forbidden to give it back because of Bikur Nefesh. Separate. Not a din in Eretz Yisrael. The Gvulim, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, is a din in Eretz Yisrael. You can't give it back, period, because it's Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? Then there's a din in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, that if you have a neighboring a city on a port, yeah, next to water, even if the goyim come al iski kash v'tevin, they just come for no reason. You mechalo Shabbos to why? Because once they come into a port city, they can conquer the whole land. They're in the land already, so then they can just keep moving. Right now, according to Halacha, who is the experts in security? So Halacha, it's Anshei Tzava. The army guys, not the prime ministers. Who? You have a medical shaila. Who's the expert? The doctor, not the prime minister. Right? Halachically, if somebody needs to eat on Yom Kippur, you don't ask a prime minister. You ask a doctor if it's Pekuach Nefesh or not, right? In security, it's up to the army, to the generals, basically. Yeah? By Sinai, by all these other lands, besides the fact that all the oil was in Sinai, there's tons of oil that they could have had for who knows how long. Yeah? But all the generals, not the politicians, because of lachats and pressure from, this and that, America and others, all the generals said, pe'echod, everybody said, to give back Sinai is dangerous because then the Arabs can be all the way up. Bamish Teretz Yisrael, because you have a big buffer zone. So number one, they said, we need the neft, we need the oil for survival. Push it for survival. So that's another din, that halachically they weren't allowed to give it back because the army experts said that it's pikuach nefesh. That's a din in danger. That's not a din in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm saying, when we learn about the border of Eretz Yisrael, there's two aspects over here. There's the border of Eretz Yisrael, mitzat teiro. This is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're not allowed to give it back. Yeah. Then you have a second aspect, which is for danger. For safety, you're not allowed to give it back. If you have a land that doesn't belong to Eretz Yisrael, and you want to negotiate to give it back, let's say, and it's not any danger whatsoever, which doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. Any land you give back is sakana. But I'm saying, hypothetically, if it wouldn't be sakana, then that would you be allowed to give back. But not when it's a danger. That's the difference. Okay, Mr. Shem, next week we'll learn the...